Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. As we rapidly close in on the Indianapolis 500.
Please tell me you know the story of the day from Indianapolis, though.
The story of the day from Indianapolis?
Yes. Let's see if you know.
To echo the words of the great philosopher, I don't care.
Elio Castroneves had a very bad accident today in practice. Fortunately, his car actually flipped in between turns one and two, and with the safety and technology that is available in these cars today, he walked away.
Well, there you go.
Elio tweeted.
Well, that's good news.
It says we joke about, you know, IndyCar as well, but in auto racing in general.
No, we don't joke about IndyCar.
Well,
everything I say is serious.
Okay. Anyway, you know, looking at the crashes that these drivers are having at the speeds that they're going, whether it be NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, whatever, and walking away with maybe a bruise or a scratch. You realize the time and effort that goes into the safety of these vehicles and then what goes into our vehicles that we drive home in every day. It always bugs me that people that diss auto racing because it's a waste of fuel or whatever, you know, you wouldn't have the gas mileage that you have today, you wouldn't have the tire wear you have today, and you sure wouldn't have the safety that you have today if it weren't for some of the things they're doing in auto racing right now. All right, I'm off my soapbox.
Oh, you're serious? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sadly, I know you agree with me. That's the worst part.
All right. Tom Brady's story, by the way, is the gift that just keeps on giving.
Boy, does it ever.
to this show. Oh, it really is. I love it. We sit there and talk show host. You got to freely sit back and say, what's why? Hey, I'll tell you right now, we got a really nice email about how fair-minded we've been about this. And the guy that wrote it was not a Patriots fan. And, you know, it's... Now the story is going around in the multi-layer stories that he might not miss a game. Boy, would you and Sean Carey be furious.
Do I want him to miss a game because he's playing the Steelers? Yes.
Of course
you do. I'm not going to deny that.
Come on. Don't lie to the crowd.
Do I think he deserves it? No. But do I want him to get that one-game suspension? Absolutely I do.
Right, now let's get to the reason why people think that there is a chance. He will appeal tomorrow. The Patriots as a team, by the way, they're part of it. They have until May 22nd to appeal. And I would expect that they would. The fine doesn't mean as much to them. I think they want to, at the very least, have the door open to getting the fourth round pick in 2017 back. I don't think they have any shot of getting the first round pick back. But Brady, as the player through the National Football League Players Association, can appeal through tomorrow, which he will. Now, here's the reason why people sat back and went, whoa. Guess who he has retained to handle his appeal?
No, I haven't heard this. Who's this?
Jeffrey Kessler.
Ah, yes.
You're saying to yourself, Jeffrey Kessler, that name has been mentioned on the show before, but I can't pinpoint where.
You read my mind, Mr. Jones.
Back in the Final Four, I talked about a case that was more dangerous to the NCAA than the O'Bannon case. And that happened to be the Kessler antitrust lawsuit, where Nigel Hayes, this was the linkage with the Final Four, Nigel Hayes is one of the plaintiffs who plays for Wisconsin. Kessler has gone against the NCAA and the Power Five conferences, they're the ones specifically named, for football and men's basketball that it will essentially make them free agents. And it's something that the NCAA, they're bothered on a couple of levels. A, they're bothered that it's there and that current players are involved in the suit, like Nigel Hayes. And they're really bothered it's Jeffrey Kessler. Kessler has a record of winning and winning and winning and winning. Tom Brady has retained Jeffrey Kessler to take care of this appeal. That's big. Thus, your hopes of only losing the game by maybe a field goal may now be 10 points.
I'd still think 10 points is conservative with the Steelers' defense, but that's a different story.
See, I don't think the Steelers will beat them with Garoppolo.
I think they'll beat them with Garoppolo. I think that makes it a much tighter game.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think they'll beat him.
As I said before, do I think he deserves to be suspended any games? No, because I can't find any hard evidence that he was a part of this. Do I think he was? Yeah, maybe I think he was, but I can't find any hard evidence.
Maybe, kind of, sort of, yeah.
But I can't find any hard evidence, and I don't think you can punish a guy four games for that. Here's the other thing. Do you know who benefits? Let's say this goes through four games, and we all know that's not going to happen. But let's say it goes all four games. Do you know there is one team in the AFC that benefits the most out of that, and that's the Buffalo Bills?
Sure.
That's the only divisional game they play. In those four.
Right. It's Rex Ryan. But, okay, that's the only divisional game they play to that point. But it should be pointed out that the Patriots is a first-place team, which is the same story as the Steelers. You are mandated to play four first-place teams from the year before. The three teams in your conference that won their division, and obviously you're going to be playing another division in the NFC, so obviously you're going to face the first-place team in that division. Well, the Patriots will face two of the four first place teams with Brady out, the Cowboys and the Steelers. So the schedule after he is scheduled to get back actually is easier. Except for Jacksonville, you got the Steelers, you got Buffalo, you got Dallas. Pretty challenging opening four. Then you have Indianapolis. So the first game he'd be back would be Indianapolis, which, by the way, would be the third of the four first-place teams they have to face. The only one left would be Denver. Miami could also benefit out of this, too. Miami actually had a pretty good year last year. But this story is multi-layered. So again, expect Brady to appeal by the end of the business day tomorrow, that Jeffrey Kessler will be one of the ones representing him, and Kessler has the ability to come out swinging. He has the ability to put a lot of different people on their heels. Next, expect the Patriots to then appeal before the 22nd. I expect the area of their appeal that they have a shot to win is the fourth round pick in 2017. The million will stay. I think the first round pick in 2016 will stay. But the fourth round pick in 17, I think they might get that one back.
Now, that's one that I don't necessarily think was undeserved. I think that that was a deserved penalty. Whether they went too far by taking the extra pick away besides the first rounder, including that, that's debatable. But I definitely think that there needs to be some sort of a fine for, or some sort of a punishment, we'll put it that way, for the team.
So, and which everything that we said we thought might happen did happen, except for the extra draft pick. We said they'd be fined heavily as a team. We said they'd have a draft pick taken away. We said Brady would be out 4 to 8 games. I think we were pretty close in this whole thing. Pretty close all the way through.
And you know what? Let's look at this from the NFL's point of view. First off, they take away a first-round draft pick next year. All right? Then they take away the fourth-round draft pick the following year. The fourth-round draft pick, I think, is the one that surprises everybody. Is this a justified that you already lose a first round next year? That's pretty severe. We've seen, especially in a draft like what we saw this year, a first round draft pick might be a pretty severe draft pick punishment. Do you think that the reason they took another one in the following year is they felt that this year's draft was just that good? I'm just speculating. Do you follow where I'm going with that, or did I lose you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm saying I think in a draft like we saw this year, losing a first-round draft pick is pretty severe because the talent level dropped severely after that as the draft went on, even in the first round. Do they think that next year's talent level is just that good that they need to take one pick away and then a one the following year? I don't understand the fourth round pick in the second year.
Because of Spygate, that's why.
So you're saying I didn't think about that. That's like a two strikes thing.
I think that the fourth round pick in 2017, from the outside looking in, I think the first round pick in 2016 is the fact that you're a multiple offender. I think the fourth round pick in 2017 is because of the inflated footballs. It's further down the list. It's not, you know, it's the fourth round, the third day.
Yeah, that's a good
as
call.
As opposed to the first 2 days. I think that you got a first round pick because you're a multiple offender and we're sick of it. You got a fourth round pick because the fourth round pick fits the crime, the current crime. Now, I think they'll get the fourth rounder back on appeal. Everything else will stick. They're not gonna keep the first rounder. And the part about you can't predict about the draft, you don't know which players are coming out early. So you don't really know the depth of the draft, really, until you know which early entries they're going to be.
Raise your hand if you think that Tom Brady is going to sit 4 games. I know mine is going up.
No, I think he'll sit 2, but that's the other part we said last week. He'll be suspended 4 to 8 games. It'll get reduced to 2 to 4. We said that last week. I mean, nothing's happened so far that we sat back and went, oh, my goodness, what about this?
Now, let's look at all this right from another side, though, well, Steve, real quick.
Let's take a look at this from management side and take a break.
All right, let me pose this question, and I'll let you ponder it. Are you ready? Here we go. Why does the NFL issue a punishment knowing that it's going to get cut in half?
Why? Because there's a union. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. The reason you see penalties reduced in the NFL and the same thing in Major League Baseball is there's a union. And like anything, there is a negotiating process that happens in this thing, just like there's a negotiating process that happens in contracts. Commissioners set it down. There's an appeals process. Okay. And sometimes appeals and appease sound very close to each other. I mean, that's the reason why there's a union. Penn State basketball, by the way, their Big Ten ACC basketball game will be December 2nd. It's a Wednesday night. They will play at Boston College. It'll be the third time in 5 years Penn State has played BC in the ACC Challenge game. Maryland's going to play North Carolina. I would have preferred to see Maryland play at Duke. That way, Rashid Suleiman could go back. A little slice of irony there. Just kidding. Clemson will be at Minnesota, Wake Forest at Rutgers on Monday the 30th. On December 1st, it's Maryland at North Carolina, Virginia at Ohio State, Michigan at North Carolina State, Purdue will be at Pitt, Northwestern at Virginia Tech, Miami will be at Nebraska. On Wednesday, December 2nd, Indiana's at Duke, Louisville is at Michigan State, Notre Dame at Illinois, Wisconsin at Syracuse, Florida State at Iowa, and Boston College at home with Penn State at the Silvio Conti Forum.
The what?
The Silvio Conti Forum. Oh, for goodness. Silvio Conti was a long-term congressman from Massachusetts. He was also a Boston College graduate.
Like I would have known that.
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm telling you.
You act like that's common knowledge that I should have known.
I act like everything I tell you is common knowledge and you should know.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, long-term congressman, BC grad, and they named the hockey basketball arena after him. It is actually connected to the football stadium. It's one of those. No, it does not get added to my list of arenas. I've already done games in there.
So if they change the name, it doesn't count. Is that what you're saying?
No, it doesn't count.
Okay.
How many new ones might I get next year? I know I'm getting Las Vegas. GW have already done that about a million times.
I'm excited. I have one new field this year for football.
Farmers Field?
No. The one at West Point.
Mikey Stadium. Right on the banks of the Hudson River.
Where it actually flows backwards, or where it flows upstream a few hours a day.
So does this show.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So quick news and notes for you. Illinois point guard Tracy Abrams, who missed all of last season with an ACL, is ahead of schedule. He's going to play on the Illini Foreign Tour. We'll stick with basketball, Penn State, Boston College, and the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which will be headlined by Maryland at North Carolina, among others. Bill Guthridge passed away. 30 years an assistant to Dean Smith, 3 years as the head coach. In his 3 years, he led North Carolina to two Final Fours. At one point in his career, Bill Guthridge was considered a strong candidate for the Penn State basketball coaching job and decided to stay at North Carolina. Let's see. Jim McElwain, $7 million buyout. You know what Colorado State's going to do with it? They're going to use to pay the cost of it. Let's see. Donald Trump says that Tom Brady should sue the National Football League for $200. Nice round number. Blake Countess is going to transfer from Michigan. Pretty good defensive back. Pretty good corner. He's going to transfer out. Jorge Posada says A-Rod Hall of Fame. No. And, of course, the Tom Brady story. A.J. Feely now saying, you know what? I saw that dastardly Tom Brady use illegal footballs.
Where was he the last, 14, 15 weeks?
We all did.
All of a sudden, he comes out and says, oh, yeah, I saw that happening years ago. Where were you the last 14 weeks? Why all of a sudden is it news now? Why didn't you say that when it first happened? Just wondering. Just thought it was convenient.
Look, is it a rule? Yes. Is it breaking a rule? Yes. Is it more accurately bending a rule? Yes. Bending and breaking are the same thing, but...
Got a kick out of Bobby.
You know what? Remember last year, Michael Pineda was suspended. How many games? 50 games? For pine tar in his glove? You know, the odd thing is, hitters don't mind if pitchers can grip the ball better. You want to know why? They have better control of it. Hitters don't mind that. Washington and Atlanta tonight, series tied at 2. They play at Phillips tonight at 8 on TNT. Late game, Golden State at home in Oakland to take on Memphis. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Seventh and deciding game tonight, Rangers and Capitals at Madison Square Garden in New York at 7:30 on NBC Sportsnet. The Pirates and the Phillies will play tonight. That should be quite a game, don't you think?
No.
You're just bitter.
Well, if you're a Pirates fan, it should be good.
Oh, no, you're looking for a sweep. This is all good.
Yeah, that's what I said. For a Pirates fan, it should be all right. I got a kick out of Bobby Bowden, former Florida State coach, saying that Jameis Winston was an embarrassment. He thinks it's a consensus among Florida State fans and boosters that he was an embarrassment in a lot of ways to the university. All right. Thanks for the hotel room there, Captain Obvious.
It's interesting. They have, when he was playing, they were defending him. Now that he's left, they're a little more open talking about it. Cole Hamels, by the way, against Francisco Liriano tonight. Pirates are looking for their fifth straight win. The Phillies are not. Cole Hamels holding batters to a .216 batting average.
Phillies being held to a .125 batting average by all pitchers.
Ryan Howard is 1-for-12 during the four-game losing streak. Chase Utley has 2 extra base hits in his last 22 games. The Phillies are 11-23. They are last in the majors at 2.8 runs per game, 283 on-base percentage, 332 slugging percentage.
You said in the promo all day today we weren't going to talk about the Phillies. I was excited.
Yep.
These you lied to
me. These
numbers
are too juicy. These numbers are too juicy. Let's see. Liriano. 8 scoreless innings, beat the Phillies 8 months ago. Only career matchup. That's an irrelevant thing. Always love when they throw irrelevant stuff in there. You sit there going, why bother mentioning that? Top of the first inning, A's and Red Sox scoreless. Top of the first, Washington and Arizona scoreless. Tonight, St. Louis is at Cleveland. Cardinals and Indians, traditional matchup. Everybody loves it. Toronto's at Baltimore, Minnesota at Detroit, Atlanta's at Cincinnati, Yankees at Tampa Bay, Miami's at the Dodgers, Cubbies at home, Little Bears take on the Mets. It is the Royals at Texas, San Francisco at Houston, the White Sox at Milwaukee, Colorado at the L.A. Angels, and Seattle at home with San Diego. Or as Ron Burgundy would say, San Diego.
San Diego, yes. Hey, you said the Phillies have 11 wins right now. Is that what, I can't remember. I haven't looked at wins because it's too depressing.
11 and 23.
Good news. The Phillies need 9 more wins, actually 10 more wins, to not become the losingest franchise in Major League Baseball history in a season. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders have that at 20 wins and 134 losses.
No expert, but that sounds like a bad year.
It does sound like a bad year. The second was the Pittsburgh Alleghenies in 1890. They were 23-113. You go back to the modern era, and I'll give you a guess at who the worst franchise was.
62 Mets had 40 wins.
1916 Philadelphia A's were 36-117.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you.
That's why I always talked about the great broadcaster Bai Sam. And Bai Sam was legendary broadcaster in Philadelphia before Harry Callis. Bai Sam for years did the Philadelphia A's in the latter years of Connie Mack. And then when the A's moved to Kansas City, he then took over the Phillies. Well, no announcer probably announced more losing games in his career than Bai Sam.
Well, there's no question. I mean, looking at this list, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to add to this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times in the modern era do the Phillies show up on the worst teams list.
So, well, he did the last years of the A's. The A's were terrible.
Well, Phillies A's, I should say. Awful. Yeah, combination of the two. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. All right. So he finally retires at the end of the 1975 season. And in 1976, what do the Phillies do? They win the division to make the playoffs. Harry Callis did such an incredibly classy thing. The night the Phillies had a chance to claim, announced the game. Nobody had a worse record than Bai Sam. It can't. And the guy was a great broadcaster. He passed away, I think, 15 years ago. Let me see. What years did Bai Sam work? And I read this, by the way, in Voices of the Game, the book. Let's see. Called Temple and Villanova Football for a while. And let's see. Philadelphia A's, 1938. Sam became the first full-time voice of the Athletics. He then added the Phillies the next year and continued double duty for 12 seasons. Both teams played at Shy Park. Almost never played at home on the same day. For most of Sam's tenure, the A's and Phillies were also Rans. He did not call a winning team until 1947. He was behind the microphone for approximately 4,000 losses. the most of any baseball announcer. He has to be the most of any announcer ever because, you know, nobody plays 100. Then it was 154 games, and then moved to 162. They said, hearing the nickname, the man of a zillion words. Lived in the Delaware Valley the rest of his life. Always spoke with a soft Texas accent. After both Philadelphia teams began airing road games in 1950, Syme was forced to drop one team since no radio station could handle the full load. He chose to drop the Phillies since he and A's owner Connie Mack had been longtime friends. As luck would have it, the 1950 Phillies won the National League pennant, while the A's finished with the second-worst record in baseball. Syme and Claude Herring did the A's games, until the team left for Kansas City after the 54 season. After they moved to Kansas City, Syme then moved back to the Phillies starting in 55, and he's joined by my old friend Bill Campbell. I worked with Bill one season. Delightful man. The pair included, he was then joined by Bill Campbell in 62, then by Richie Ashburn. A year later, Campbell left in 70, was replaced by Harry Callis. Syme stayed there until 1975. Ironically, the year after Syme retired, the Phillies won the National League East. Their first postseason appearance since 1950. For this reason, Callis and Ashburn invited Syme back into the booth for the division clinching game and let him call the last half inning. And then they added him to the broadcast team for the NLCS.
I think we've all had a moment where we're calling a game and, you know, miss a word and listen to it back and go, okay, that didn't sound right. I know he had one, and I think the player was the left fielder, Alex Johnson. Where he says, Alex Johnson's going back, he's going back, his head hits the wall, he reaches down, picks it up, and throws it into second base. We've all had one of those moments in our career somewhere. But...
sure. Well, they asked Ashburn later about him calling the deciding game and then being added to the broadcast team for the National League Championship Series, and Ashburn said, quote, 38 years and no winner, damn right he deserved a title. never called a pennant or division winner in Philadelphia, but he did call 13 no-hitters and Jim Bunning's perfect game in 64, which was on Mother's Day in 64. I think that was at Shea Stadium. He also broadcast the World Series for NBC Radio in 59 and 65 independently.
Wasn't he one of the broadcasters at the Chamberlain game, too, in Hershey?
I think that was just Bill Campbell.
Oh, okay. I thought he was on one of those broadcasts, actually.
I think that was just Bill Campbell on that. By the way, Bai Syme was given the Ford Frick Award in 1990 in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Philadelphia Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 93, died in 2000. He was known for occasional slip-ups on the air. For example, he once opened a game by saying, "Hello, Byram Syme, this is everybody speaking."
Right.
Game 5, 59 World Series. When Mel Allen introduced the NBC radio audience to amiable, affable, able Byram Syme, Syme said, "Right you are, Mel."
Right you are, Mel.
And then, of course, the one about Alex Johnson. So
that was my favorite, was the Alex Johnson one. I thought that's what his name was. That was one of my favorites.
This guy was behind the microphone for more than 4,000 losses. Now, it says here one of the hallmarks is that he was not a homer. How could you be? We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball.
All right, now try this on for size. Bai Syme broadcast Philadelphia A's or Phillies games for 38 seasons. 19 last place teams, 11 of them lost 100 games or more. Wow. Only 5 winning seasons, 3 with the A's and 2 with the Phillies. Tony and Shimokan. Hi, Tony.
I remember listening to that whole 64 season, listening to Bisom. And when he pitched, when Bunning pitched the perfect game, I remember we were sitting in the schoolyard listening to it on the radio. The guy was amazing. Wow. You think a home run was hit, but pop up to second base.
Oh, Ernie Harwell was another one that was a dandy with that. He'd go, long fly ball and a can of corn. Like, what?
But we listened to that whole Jim Bunning game on the radio.
Well, there's the one where Bisom said, "What a beautiful night for baseball. The flags are hanging limp, not a breeze at all. The game is at the Astrodome."
Of course there's no breeze.
He was you mentioned that Wilt Chamberlain game. Is there any tape or video of that game at all anywhere? And why was that game played in Hershey?
Because in the NBA is not the NBA of today. They move games all over the place to accommodate the schedule, because rarely was the NBA the number one tenant in a building. So that's why the game was played in Hershey. There is no video of it. There is some audio that Bill Campbell kept, including audio of the 100th point being scored. There is, yeah, and I've heard the Bill Campbell audio of it.
Was Paul Arizin on that team?
Yes.
Was he? He was great.
Yep, and they won the game, I think, 169 to 140-something over the Knicks.
Holy crap.
I want to say 47.
Yeah, it was like 169 to 47. So Wilt scored 100, his teammates scored 69, and that was enough.
I remember after the Warriors moved to California, Paul Arizin didn't want to go, and he played for the Camden Bullets. And I seen him play against the Sunbury Mercury a few times down at Sunbury.
Wow.
50, 60 the points with that.
Eastern Basketball League?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he had that terrific jump shot.
Wow.
And good old days. All right, have a good day.
Hey, you know who else played in the Eastern Basketball League? John Chaney, the old Temple coach.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did he ever play with the Warriors?
Don't think so, no.
No. No. But he was. And who was Sonny Hill?
Well, Sonny Hill, of course, when it came to the guy that had all the connections in AAU in Philadelphia, was Sonny Hill. He was fabulous with getting high school basketball players noticed for colleges. That's why the Sonny Hill Basketball League was formed.
Yeah.
And Sonny Hill, for a while, was also an analyst on CBS.
He was a legend. Has he passed away?
Sonny Hill?
Yeah.
No, Sonny Hill's still alive.
Is he? Good. Okay,
yeah, Sonny Hill is still alive.
Good day.
Yep, you bet.
You know, one of the big names that played in Sunbury was Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Yes. And Sonny Hill, by the way, did not play in the NBA. As Tony pointed out, he also played in the Eastern Basketball League. In fact, he played in the Eastern Basketball League for 10 years. And, all right. Second hour of the show coming up. Dick Girardi on Friday on the Preakness as Kevin gets his money ready. Get ready for American Fair to run maybe his best race.
Well, that's not going to win me any money. I'm going to have to get the trifecta.
No guts, no glory.
That's true.
Story of your life.